We've had a pretty good review every time. I won't give you a lot of detail, but I want to repeat things often enough, not to bore you to death, but often enough that you could repeat them back to me if I asked you, such as the double theme of Romans. And I won't call on anybody this morning, but in your mind, I hope you are thinking along the lines, it doesn't have to be the exact words, that this theme of faith alone in Christ alone, righteousness by faith, and these two tracks that this runs on, the blood and the cross, that the guilt of sin has been dealt with by the blood, and the power of sin has been broken by the cross. There is no greater news than that. The guilt of sin broken? I mean, that us relieved from the guilt of sin, the weight of sin? That is good news. And that the power of the flesh, this old nature, has been broken by the cross? That is good stuff. So if we believe these things, if we put them in action, certainly our lives will be changed. And we've looked in chapter 5 that we now stand in grace. We stand in grace. If we have crossed that great chasm, the great divide between us and God, we've crossed by way of Jesus, which is the only bridge across. The only way across from us, born separated from God, and individual acts of sin that have guilt, punishment coming our way. And there's one way back to God. Because when I say reconciled, come back to God, what I really, you know, I use that term, and the Bible uses that term in this way, that it's not that you necessarily at one time when you were born knew God, and then you did something that got separated from Him. It's that you were born separated from Him. But mankind was created knowing God and in relationship with God, and then mankind went their own way apart from God. So when we say reconciled, that's you in one sense of a representative of mankind is being brought back to God. So there's only one way back. And it is by grace, through Jesus, by faith, that we cross that bridge and our relationship with God is reconciled. And then, when we are over there on that other side, we don't go back. We're part of this family now. We're there. We stand in grace. And we can live in that grace. But there's some ways that this works. There's some mechanics, if you want to call it that. There's some ways that this living this life victoriously. And if you don't get this, if you don't understand this, you will fail at living the Christian life. I'm not saying you'll lose your salvation, but you will not go and grow and walk in His power and live the way that the Bible says that we can live. You know, if you think about this, and there are many examples of this, some advanced missionary post behind enemy lines, you know, you think of something. In the former, you would think of it some place in the Congo and Africa. These days, we think of it some place in the Middle East where there is much persecution. But let's say we have some missionaries back there, a little missionary post. So you would think that people that are there, risking their lives, have sacrificed everything to be there. And let's say we have a small group of people that are in a community together, and they're there for the purposes of reaching out for God's purposes to the people that don't know Him. Now, you would think that little group of people would just have peace among one another, that they would get along fine, they would love each other. But you know, there are many instances of people in that situation where it's not like that. Where in that group, just like in any group, you will find resentment, jealousy, a lack of discipline and self-control. You find gossip, critical spirit, a wrong focus, a lack of passion, an empty prayer life, even lust and sexual sin. And in Romans, you see what happens. The people forget the basics of how we live. And these are the basics. These are the nuts and bolts of what God has called us to. This is the Spirit-controlled life. And this is how it works in Romans chapter 6. So we can't afford to miss this. So you can be the most advanced, spiritually mature person. It's like you know, if you watched, hate to use the USA basketball team in a bad light, but they got over this, but there was an Olympics where they should have won the gold medal. They should have won everything. But it's like they forgot. They forgot the basics. They forgot the basics of pass the ball, play defense, dribble, take a good shot, shoot, just the very simple basics of basketball. And you get carried away with how am I looking? What are my stats? Slam dunk. Half court shot. You know, but you forget those basics. And yeah, they were the best players in the world. But they lost. They lost. They really lost. Because they forgot the basics. And we too. It doesn't matter how far we advance. If we forget these basics that we're going to look at today, then we've missed the boat. We really have. So, and if we want to go on and grow, these are the things we must keep in our mind. So, these things, we're just going to work. And we're going to go through this of Romans chapter 6. We've covered the first five verses last week. So we'll review those really quick. We'll start with verse 1. I think we covered through 5 last week. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? So Paul is answering the question that's always asked when we talk about this thing of it's not by works, it's by faith. You start talking about that and people will say, oh, okay, you're giving people a license to sin. They're going to go and do what they want. Well, Paul is answering the question and we got into that in more detail last week. We won't go back to it. It's a silly question. It is not a good question. It doesn't work. You don't understand how this living by faith works if you're given that accusation. So, it's not a good question, he says. By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. So if this is the first time you've heard this, if you weren't here last week and you've never heard this before, that really could be a confusing few verses there. But if you take just a minute, and we've talked about this plenty, but we'll just, a quick review. This word baptized, this is not talking about water baptism. Now, water baptism is a great picture of what this is talking about. So, if you got baptized as a child, you didn't know anything that was going on, you got baptized, you later became a believer. I'm a believer in get baptized again. When you understand this, when it has meaning and depth, then get baptized because you know what it means. So, but this is, water baptism is not what this is talking about. It's saying you've been identified and that word means identified. And so, if we have been, so this is given the facts. So these are facts most of you already know. But, do you get up every day? Do you have peace? Do you have joy? Do you have love? Well, if you don't, then you're forgetting these facts. So, let's remember them. The facts are, if you have believed, if you've put your faith in Christ, if you said, God, I have rebelled against you, I've gone my way, I've sinned, take the death of Jesus in my place, then you've been identified with the death of Jesus. That takes care of your sin. It really does. It takes care of your sin. Don't go back and talk about your sin anymore. Now, if you sin today, it took care of that too. Now, you still need to repent and ask God to forgive you, repair the relationship. But you haven't quit being a child of God any more than your child becomes stops being your child if he disobeys you. So, that sin has been taken care of at the cross. The blood was enough. So you've been identified with that, as if you died, as if you paid the price. And then, you identify with his resurrection. You see, Jesus, our approach, we've talked about this so much, our approach to God is not based on our own goodness. It's such a confused, the whole world is confused about this. We do not approach God founded based on our own goodness. We approach God based on, if we've been identified with Christ, based on the goodness of Jesus. So that holy, almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, accepts us into his presence as if we were just as righteous as Christ. We have the imputed righteousness of Christ. So, the cross does that. We've been identified with his resurrection. That means we have been given new life. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us. But here's the key. The cross. That flesh, that old nature, sin nature, Adam nature, whatever you want to call it. That tendency to go your own way, to live for yourself, to do what you want to do. That used to control you. It may control you now, even though you are a believer. It doesn't have to. We're going to get into that. But you've been identified with that. So the control has been broken. So, you've been separated. That's what death means, always in the Bible, separation. You've been separated from that old nature. So it does not have to control you. Now, you can be like the children of Israel. They left Egypt, right? They were no longer had to submit to the masters that used to be over them. Now they were tempted to go back. So we can go back and we can submit to that old master again. And I'll tell you how you know if you're submitting. We'll talk about that today. How do you know if you're submitting to that old master? How do you know if you're submitting to Jesus? There's a way to tell. So you don't have to. That control, you've been set free. So a lot of times that's why this chapter is to talk. You've been set free from slavery, from that control of the flesh. It's an amazing thing. There's no other cure for the flesh, the self, the old nature. There's no other cure except the cross. So you've been identified with that, and you've been given a new life. You can live. So the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. You have the resurrection life, Jesus. You have eternal life. So the minute you believe, you have eternal life. Your life starts right then. Your eternal life starts right then. And you have the life of Jesus. Let's go to Galatians 2:20. You read this last week. It condenses these passages right here in Romans. Galatians 2:20, sorry. This is a verse. There's a few verses that you should put to memory. And this is one of them. This is one of those foundational verses I would recommend that you call on. You have this in your mind. You can call on it when you need it. The other one is Romans 6:11 that we'll look at today. So Galatians 2:20. So this should mean something to you now. We've gone through Romans chapters 1 through 5. This should carry weight with you. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Do you understand that now? I've been crucified. I've been identified with His death on the cross. I have His resurrection life, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, the life I live today, when I get out of the life I live today, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul spent a long chapters explaining, going into detail about it, how God loves us, how God gave Himself up for us, how we believe that and we get the benefit of it. It's by faith. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. If I could be good enough to be righteous enough to be in the presence of God, then Jesus didn't have to die. He had to die in our place to impute us with righteousness. So, Paul's attitude, his tone here that we try to capture is that he's saying here, if you look at the exclamation points and the way that this is worded, please understand this. He's saying, please get this. There's a lot of stuff to follow. There's a lot more to learn. But if you don't learn this, it's not going to work well for you. Learn this and believe it. Understand the truth and believe it. That brings us to verse 6. There is a key thing here, this union with Christ, though, in chapter 5. That is, we have been united with Christ. We have this union with Him. And we'll get in, hopefully you'll understand that a little more as we get through this today. Verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So, freed from sin, we just talked about this, but Paul's repeating it here. We will repeat it. We have been freed from sin, from the control of the sinful nature. Don't just think. I hope you have this picture that at any time, at any point in time, you are either controlled by the sin nature or you're controlled by the new nature, by the Jesus nature, the resurrection. You are at any point in time, right now, you're either controlled by the sin nature or the new nature. Think about, I recognize it in myself. And I'm sure people around me that know me well recognize it too. But I know if I'm walking in the flesh, if I'm walking in the old nature, I have a certain uneasiness about me. I have a certain greediness about me. I don't mean greedy necessarily for money, but greedy for what I want and what will please and satisfy me. I'm hungry for that when I'm walking in the flesh. Even though I may be reading my Bible, I may be in Christian circles and all that, I can still be walking in the flesh. And it doesn't mean I have to be out there in obvious open sin. But I can be set free from that nagging, anxious, unsettledness. I can be set free from that. That is the flesh. The old person we used to be in Adam has died. And we were when we were identified with the death of Jesus. You say, why are you repeating that to me? So why are you keep... These are the facts you need to believe. These facts need to be drilled into you and into me. Or Paul wouldn't have repeated them so often here by the Holy Spirit. We have been separated from sin and His power. Unplugged. We were plugged into the flesh, the sin, and His power. We've been separated from that and plugged into the power of Jesus. We've been plugged into, we have a new power source. And just as there's a verse here that talks about, we'll read this in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. The Israelites followed Moses to the other side of the Red Sea. Remember that? He was their leader. They followed him. They were identified with him, and they were separated from their old slave masters. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses. They were identified with Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So just as we are identified with Jesus, you see, they were identified with Moses. They were no longer slavery. They were no longer slaves in Egypt. Did they have to obey those old slave masters anymore? No. There's separation. They did not have to obey them. They were delivered from slavery and Pharaoh by accepting Moses as their new leader, rather than staying in Egypt. We, united with Christ by the Holy Spirit, no longer have to obey the sin nature. Right there in verses 6 and 7. We do not have to obey the sin nature. Verses 8 to 10. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, I hope you're reading along with me. Get a Bible out and look along if you don't have one. There's one in front of you. Because this, if you look at it and you read these words, you need to know where it's coming from. It's Romans chapter 6. Now, verse 8 again. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. If you sin tomorrow, Jesus does not have to die again. He died once. It was good enough. It takes care of the future sin. That doesn't give you a license to sin. It gives you this idea of the mercy and the grace of God. But God takes sin seriously. We live with Him. We have His divine nature imparted to us. That's why Peter could say, we can participate in the divine nature. There's something miraculous about this. We can, let's go to there. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. I'm reading in verse 2. Is that right? I'm in 2 Peter. That's related. But I want to read in 2 Peter. It's very related. More than it was an accident though. So, if you thought that sounded right, it did sound right. It was close, but not the bullseye. Here's the bullseye. Verses 3 and 4. Of 2 Peter, chapter 1. His divine nature has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. This is critical. Through our knowledge of Him, He has given us this divine power who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And then He goes on to talk about growth. He's saying, you know, add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, knowledge self-control, perseverance, godliness, kindness. That's spiritual growth. That's sanctification. But all of this is possible because we participate in the divine nature. How do we participate in the divine nature? Well, it's Romans chapter 6. It's exactly what we're studying. It's how you participate in the divine nature. And I love the way that Peter worded that, that we can participate in the divine nature. And then he goes on to talk about growth, because it's built on a foundation of participating in the divine nature. You cannot grow in those things unless you are participating in the divine nature, unless you're doing that by faith. He finished the work. He became Jesus. He became our representative. His death not only paid the penalty of human sin, but broke the power of indwelling sin in the believer's life. When He was resurrected, we, the branches, He's the vine, we're the branches, we receive that life too. Stay with me. Go to John chapter 15. You know, whenever we're in Romans chapter 6, I always want to say, you know, if you want to get anything out of the rest of that this church teaches, if you ever want to grow, if when we're teaching whatever we are teaching on next year, if you want to get that and grow from it, you better get this. This is how it works. This is the foundation of how it works. John 15, I'm talking about not just from this verse we're going to read, but from the whole concept here we're talking about in chapter 6. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We have a new source of life. We have been plugged into a new source of life. No longer our own strength, our own source, our flesh, our self, but rather Jesus is our source of life. Every single day, we are plugged into, we can participate in His divine nature. If you're looking on your outline, part D, all believers should count on the fact of their death to sin and resurrection to God through the Lord Jesus. So, we have seen this. We've seen it over and over. That our sin is paid for, and that we have freedom from the sin nature, and we do not have to obey that sin nature. And the divine nature has been imparted to us. That gives us desire to do God's will. It gives us power to do God's will. This is the inner spiritual machinery that God has installed by which we can live the Christ life. This is what He's given us, that we can live the Christ life. Now, we're using a lot of terms here, and all of them don't sound relational. But do not take away the relational aspect in your mind. All of this means we can have intimacy, fellowship with God. That's what all this means. So, there should. You see, this, all of history was leading up to this. Should there not be a change in a convert when a person comes to Jesus? Then there should be, and we should expect a change in their life. You see how this is different than the legalism of asking somebody to be good enough to make themselves acceptable to God or to meet some standard that we as a group decide is the standard. But when someone does, by faith, trust Christ, you should expect there is a spiritual machinery in operation. You should expect a change in them. But if we don't understand and adjust to the new life in us, like Peter was talking about, the knowledge, the truth, if we don't understand and adjust to that, to the new life in us, we will be repulsively lukewarm. We may know the truth, but if we don't respond to the truth, if we don't believe the truth, we will be sickeningly lukewarm. You know, in Revelation, I will spew you out of my mouth. lukewarm is not appealing to God. On fire, passionate for Him, passionate about what He's called us to, that is what God wants from us. And that He has provided for us because we can participate in the divine nature. You will also have a continuous and losing battle with the flesh if you do not see this truth, believe this truth. You all will be having a losing battle all of your Christian life with the flesh. Here's the answer. We've seen the answer all along. But here's the answer condensed. Here's the answer that impacts me. Is Romans 6:11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin. Oh, I don't feel dead to sin. I feel tempted to think that thought, to be critical, to have lust, to have greed, or whatever it is, to be anxious. I don't feel dead to that. In fact, I feel a bit overpowered by that at some moments in time. Don't you? Don't you feel like that? But He says, count yourself dead to sin. Reckon it to be true. You have been separated from that. You used to have to give into that. You used to have to give into that in some shape, form, or fashion. Now, all of this that we've just described and explained, this is the truth. You're dead to that. You do not have to give in to that flesh, to that old nature. Count yourself dead to sin, but not only that, count yourself, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Believe. Count yourself. That means believe it. It's a very specific accounting term that He's using there. You reckon it to be true. You count on it to be true. It is by faith. Romans 1:17. The righteous will live by faith. We must do two things in this verse. Yeah, I'm going to say it again. We must do two things. It's right there in your outline. Count on, reckon yourself dead to sin. Believe that. Believe it. When the sin and the temptation begins to overwhelm you, apply faith. Believe you're dead to it. Next, the power to live, power to do. Reckon, count on yourself being alive to God. That goes back to Galatians 2:20. It also goes back to John 15:5 that we just read. We have oneness with God through Christ. So, let's say you were playing a game and you had two guys blindfolded. Then you have this group and there's a board. A 2x6. So one person that's blindfolded stands on this board. It's 2x6. And the whole group lifts it up and they say, they tell them that before the game starts, that you're in a room with an 8-foot ceiling. And they lift him. Now he can't see the ceiling. But he's just going on what he's been told. So they lift him up. As soon as they start getting high, he starts ducking. Now they're all laughing and because he's the only one that doesn't know that they're in the gymnasium. They couldn't lift him high enough to hit the ceiling. But he's acting as if the ceiling's there and he's ducking and ducking. The other guy that was blindfolded, he knows. They let him peek. He knows there's no ceiling. They put him on there and they lift him and say, watch out, you're going to hit your head. And he goes, I've seen it. Not true. I know this. I'm blindfolded, but I know there's no ceiling there. So he's fine. They lift him up. He's not worried about hitting the ceiling. They're both in the same situation. But one is believing a lie. The other is believing the truth. And he's not ducking and trying to dodge because there's nothing to dodge. We have been set free. We have been given the truth. We must believe it. That we have been separated from sin and we've been given a power to live. We've been given a new life. We do it by faith. We believe. Now, this is not a magic pill of truth that you take. You must persevere in this, as it talks about in 2 Peter 1:3-10, where Peter goes on to say, you know, build on these things and build on these things and grow in them. It takes perseverance. It's not just this, I repeat this verse so that cures me. No, this is a lifetime of believing this. So, that first guy, the ducking guy, he goes on to do his best he can in his own strength, living a defeated and lukewarm life. He doesn't have those limitations on himself. God has removed those limitations, but he's still acting like he has them. But the one who counts on the fact that the ceiling has been lifted, well, he lives a different life. He participates in the divine nature. As 2 Peter 1:4 says, or Galatians 2:20 says, Christ lives in me. And I'll live that life by faith. He will live differently. So, count yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Believe it. And verses 12 and 13, chapter 6, Romans. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from life to death, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. Reign, that means to exercise kingly power. Stop allowing the sinful nature to reign as king in your body, so that you offer the parts of your body for use of the old nature to use in a sinful way. It may not just be obvious sin, as we talked about. It could be attitude. It could be venting and complaining. So, the next time, I never get a good result when I say this, but I keep on saying it for some reason. The next time your friend or your family member is just venting and angry and dejected and feeling sorry for themselves and, you know, whatever the range that you know it, then you can just walk up beside them and put your arm around them and you can say, I'm so sorry that you're reaping the fruit of the flesh. Don't do that. But you could do that. It would be real. That's what's happening. That person, you, me, we are displaying the fruit of the flesh, the old nature. The throne of your heart is to be occupied only by Jesus. Not self, not a hobby, not your spouse, not children, nothing. The believer is able to do this because he's been delivered from self being on the throne. He's been delivered from that. He has a new life. Be very leery of the lie of answers to your sin problem or a lack of your of fruit that don't include the cross. Be very leery of those things that fix your sin problem, but they don't include the cross of believing, acknowledging death to self. Galatians 5:16. So I will say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The sinful nature desires to use the body for unrighteousness. The ears, the eyes, the mind, the hands, the emotions, the tongue. We must give the Lord continual control over thoughts, deeds, possessions, or all of this will not work. In other words, we surrender our will to Him. If we are still hanging on, then this will never work. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This is, you give yourself completely to God. You're submitting, surrendering your will to God. You've been identified with the cross. That is surrender. And it's yieldedness. It's putting Jesus reigning in your life rather than sin reigning in your life. Sin being the sin nature, self. It said, do not let sin reign in your life. What it said. You have the power to do that. You can let Jesus reign in your life. So, You know who you are. You have been set free. You've been given resurrection life. You then count on it. Like the blindfolded guy. You count on it. You believe it. Don't allow the old nature to reign. If Christ is not reigning, the old nature is reigning. The flesh is reigning. Romans 6:14, part F on your outline. All believers have been delivered from the reign of self. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Jesus is your master by the Holy Spirit, and He produces fruit. This is much more than just resisting sin. And, you know, this talk so much about sin, I fear that people's thoughts will just go, this is part of it, I fear that people's thoughts will just, because of guilt, and that just go to sinful acts that they do or have done, or thoughts. It's much more than this. It's Jesus reigning. It is abiding in Christ. It is displaying the nature and the character of Christ. It is being the aroma of Christ. Galatians 5:16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then 22 to 25. So there is a conflict there. Did you catch that? And we'll talk about that conflict later. There's a conflict between the flesh and the new nature. But we must, by faith, allow the new nature to reign. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You see, this is not just surviving. This is living victoriously. This is living Christ-like. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It just doesn't mean just not sinning. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. You cannot control these things yourself. There's no amount of rules you can have that will enable you to do these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, here's what happened, it's not rules, have crucified the sinful nature. You've been identified with Jesus on the cross. With its passions, you've crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's go to a couple other verses that describe this idea. Colossians 2, 11 to 15. In Him, you were also circumcised. That's at the cross. You were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. Separated you from the sinful nature. Not with a circumcision done by hands of men, but there was a circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. There's another one that condenses Romans chapter 6 right there. And then Romans 4:3. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. All of this is through faith. Faith always involves a decision of the will to act on what the mind believes. Do you believe this? Act on this. Act as if it is true. Faith always responds to the truth with action. We must have truth and faith to have the abundant life, the resurrection life, the Christ life. I'll give you another example. You go to the zoo, circus maybe, and there's the lion tamer with his lion. And boy, that lion is like a kitten. The lion tamer's there. I mean, kids are petting the lion. It's like, whoa. But then the lion tamer is gone, and they put a sign on the cage. do not approach the lion. So somebody walks up there and, well, I just petted the lion. It's fine. He's tame. Reaches in there to pet the lion. Pulls back an arm with no hand. It didn't work. Maybe, though, the lion just in a good mood and just didn't take the arm, just growled. But when the lion tamer comes back, once again, the lion, you can pet the lion. When we are with Jesus, when He is in control, it changes everything. It changes everything. The lion may be fun and in a good mood, but you still better not trust him. And then there are times when the lion tamer is not there, when he is pure dangerous. But when the lion tamer is there, he's gentle as a kitten. There's a change. When we have Jesus reigning in our life, we have a different disposition. It is because of this identification, this truth, that we can be the aroma of Christ that Paul speaks about in 2 Corinthians 2:15. And let's go there real quick. We're almost done. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? There is no one equal to such a task. But we can be the fragrance of Christ. We can be the aroma of Christ when He is reigning in our life. I have this little mental image. It might not be a very good one, but or all that theologically sound, I'm not sure. But of walking down a path, and it's like there's a little electric fence. You guys have had electric fences before, haven't you? Where you touch the fence, ow! You know, so I'm not the ones that'll kill you, just, you know, the ones that'll give you a shock. Well, so you're walking down this path, and if you step off the path a bit, zip, it gets you. Well, I imagine myself walking down this path, spirit-controlled path, Jesus reigning in my life. And I have peace, and I have joy, and be in the aroma of Christ. I'm a tame lion. And then I notice myself being anxious, not having joy, maybe being a little short-fused, maybe angry. Zip. That's the warning. Because you're not bearing fruit of the Spirit. There needs to be a reckoning. A reckoning to be true, to count yourself dead to sin. By faith, you believe that you don't have to be controlled by the sin nature. Do you remember that earlier I was talking about the group of, say, really committed Christians that's behind enemy lines and they're really mature, yet they forget these things and they go back. This is what they're doing. So if this happens to great mature Christians that I know of, missionaries that are... What can it do to a marriage when we're not walking in the Spirit? Well, I'll tell you, it makes a marriage miserable. It can make a marriage miserable. But think about the change when people are walking in the Spirit, when Jesus is reigning on your heart, and you are reckoning to be true that you're dead to sin but alive to Christ. And you're able to forgive instantly. This does not mean you would do things perfectly, of course not. But you're able to forgive instantly. You're able to have joy. You're able to love. You're able to do these things in the power of Christ. So we can use Galatians 5:22 as an electric fence, a warning. I'm stepping off the path of being spirit controlled, and I'm going back to the old master. I'm going back to Egypt when I'm living like that. I'm back submitting to the old slave master. But I don't have to. But, you see, I know what has happened to me. I know what has happened to me, this identification that I've had at the cross and the resurrection. And I need to count on it, to reckon to be true, that I am dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And this is how the Spirit-controlled life works. It's the nuts and bolts of it. If you forget these basics, you can go on and learn all you want to learn. But if you're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, if Jesus is not reigning in your heart, if you're not dead to sin but alive to Christ, it's to no avail. So I think that my belief is that a great step in this direction can be taken by any individual. If somebody's not a believer, they can become a believer just by believing these things. If you're already a believer, then you can take a great step even this morning in this direction. Now, it doesn't end here. This has to continue. And there will be things of surrender that must take place, of yieldedness to Him that must take place. But this is the truth. And this is what must happen in our lives.